and the reason we celebrate. In Jesus' name, amen. Be glorified, amen. Let's lift it up. We're going to praise, raise a hallelujah.
Everything.
worship you, God. Hallelujah. We know, God, that you are more than enough. You are more than able. We lay down all of our cares at your feet this morning, every single one. We can trust you.
When did I start to forget all of the great things you did? When did I throw away faith for the impossible? And how did I start to believe that you weren't sufficient for me? Why do I talk myself out of seeing miracles? 'Cause you are more than me. Oh, come a long way. I've seen how you work. There's so much goodness and grace, much more than I deserve, 'cause I know who I am. I can stay where I'm at, 'cause we've come this far by faith, and I just can't turn back, 'cause he's not done with me yet. He's not done with me yet. There's so much more to the story. You're not done with me yet. You're not done with me yet. No, you're not done with me yet. There's so much more to the story. You're not done with me. I've been more loved than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now.
Going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice carried in the rhythm of the wind to call me out. You would cross an ocean so I wouldn't drown. You've never been closer than you are right now.
You are
Jireh, you are enough.
So clear.
Father, what a beautiful thing
Lord, to come together as your children, for our souls to get a glimpse of your glory. We love you today. We thank you for giving us the words, God, and even the breath to give back to you, for giving us a way to express what our souls feel so deeply, Lord. We thank you for the beautiful season that is upon us. Lord, we thank you for the way that you have worked, for the way that you are working, and the way that you will continue to work. We love you. We worship you. We raise our hallelujah today to the God who is more than able, more than enough, and all we need. In his son's name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward as we continue in our spirit of giving today. Thank you for being here with us. Welcome you. If you are a guest today, we especially want to welcome you to be here with us. Thank you that you have chosen to be with us to worship today. And we just look forward to continuing in a spirit of worship. Pray with me, if you will, for our offering this morning. Father God, again, we thank you for making it possible to get back to you, to serve you, Lord, to be part of what you are doing to build and multiply your glorious kingdom in our community and around the world. Take this and multiply it as only you can, and we know you will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. So again, thank you. Thank you for being here today. We're excited to have you here. If you are a guest, we especially want the chance to connect with you. We love to be able to do that. If you will allow us to, we can do that either through you filling out one of our New Here cards there on the chairs. Even better to stop by our New Here table in the lobby on your way out today. We have a gift that we'd love to give you and just connect with you personally and just get to know you a little better if you would allow us to do that. Pastor Brandon always reminds and says that we promise not to harass you. I never make that promise. We probably won't, though, but we are excited that you are here to worship with us today. How many of you guys were at the parade last night? Just again, show of hands. Nice. It was a good time, isn't it? It was a really good time. Thank you for those who, especially all those who put in many, many hours and lots of work getting our float ready. Those of you that were there last night riding on it, lots of folks in our church family contributed to that, and we thank you for that. I learned particularly this morning who is responsible for the fringe on the float. That's a not-to-be-overlooked detail, the fringe on the float. It was fringe-tastic. That's what I told her. It was great. So thank you for those of you who put long hours of work into that. I'm thankful that we have skilled people to do that. I watched them every day, and they were awesome. I'm thankful for that. Thankful for you guys, too. We have a few announcements we'd like to share on our announcement video today, so if you turn your attention to the screen, we'll have those, and then we'll enjoy our time in the Word together. God bless you guys.
What's up, CF Paris? We are so excited that you're here with us today. We have just a few announcements for you.
All right, ladies, this Thursday is going to be the CF Women Christmas Party. It costs $5. It's Thursday the 7th, 6 to 7:30. Bring a pair of Christmas socks wrapped up. They're going to do a Christmas sock gift exchange. It's going to be super fun. So women, go get signed up if you haven't. There's sign up in the lobby. You can also sign up online in the app.
This year, like we've done in the past, we're partnering with Meals on Wheels and their Gifts of Love campaign. We have cards out in the lobby. You can go out and you can pick a card and then bring back what's on that card. We do ask that you bring that back wrapped and ready and help us support our homebound community members.
Guys, those are due next Sunday, so pick it up today and make sure you bring it back next week, the 10th. Bring and attach the card to it so they know where it goes. And lastly, guys, Christmas Eve. We are super excited this year that Christmas Eve falls on a Sunday. So what we are doing are two Christmas Eve candlelight services, two times. We're going to do a 10 o'clock in the morning and a 5:30 in the evening. In the morning, we're going to black out the curtains. We're going to light those candles. It's going to be family style like we always do on Christmas Eve. So there is going to be no kids or littles. But we are just super excited to celebrate the season with you guys. It's going to be awesome. I think that's all we got, guys. Pastor Corey's coming up. Bye.
Turn it on. And that's usually when I typically remember to turn it on. Thank you, man. Yes, we are, guys. It's like really quiet. Y'all aren't in the Christmas spirit yet. Oh, there's some joy. I hear it. We are super excited, guys. Christmas Eve, two services. Again, both of them the same. You can come to both. Or you can spend time with family hearing one and come to the other. Two services, 10 a.m., normal Sunday, what would be a normal Sunday time, just in case you happen to forget and need to call me about what time the services are. It's normal. And then also a 5:30 evening service. So Christmas Eve, two opportunities to come up here and enjoy just a very beautiful service that we're excited about doing. Christmas spirit. It's on us. Like, whether you like it or not, it's here. And today, what I want to do, today I'm starting a new series that I'm going to call Divine Appointments. Divine Appointments and focusing on looking at what it is that God can do in what seems to us nothing more than a simple moment. This week, I had the honor of officiating a memorial service for Texas Ranger Big Eddie Allman. I met Ed and his wife Linda while I was still an associate pastor down in South Texas. I was living down in South Texas, and they were winter Texans that were visiting the church down there my wife and I worked at. They were from here in Paris, but living down there. At the time, and it was probably this month, 11 years ago. We moved here 10 and a half years. Yeah, so this month, 11 years ago, there you go. I was traveling almost every other weekend. I would fly out of an airport down there in South Texas in Harlingen. I'd fly to Dallas and I'd rent a car, drive out to Paris, and I'd try and get here for Friday. Sometimes it was at best Saturday morning when I could get here, just because I was still working my job down there. I'd come up here and I was helping out the pastor at the time, Pastor Paul Dieringer of Christian Fellowship, and a dear man, but he was struggling with cancer at the time. So by this time, it's December, my wife and I have been asked by our overseer here, my mentor, Ron Corzine, as well as by Paul Dieringer himself. They had asked me to step in as the full-time pastor. My wife and I had accepted, and so in all of my trips up here every other weekend, I was very, very diligently looking for a home. Needed a house. I mean, how do you move a wife and three kids to a little town in Northeast Texas that you know God's called you to be if you don't even have a home? The market was probably just as great as it is today. I searched and searched and searched, and here it was December, and we hadn't found a home. The weight and the struggle of just not knowing where I was going to move a family was weighing on me. I know it was a heavy weight on my wife, Melissa. On top of that, we both knew that in moving here, just because the church at the time was 30, 40 strong, that we were going to be, in essence, almost losing most of our salary. So there was just this weight that we carried while we were desperately trying to find that place that God had for us. Christmas season, I am very begrudgingly getting dragged to Target. The family is doing a super exciting shopping trip to Target, is what I meant to say. We're going, and we walk in the door. I'll never forget. We walk in the door, and off in the corner, as Target does, they put a Starbucks. And I, knowing very well that I was going to need a little pep to make it through this shopping trip, decided to turn right. From inside the Starbucks, I heard the voice of Big Eddie Allman down in Harlingen, Texas, Target Starbucks. He stood up, and we had been introduced, and at the time I knew that, or had heard that he was snowbirding from Paris, Texas. And so I was like, man, I got to talk to this guy just for the opportunity of saying, hey, who do you know that I can call and get some direction? I sat down with Eddie Allman, and he started just asking me questions about Paris. I poured my heart out. We talked back and forth forever. And at the end of it, he kind of posed a question, and I saw my opportunity to ask him, and I was like, well, I could really use your help. I'm needing to find a home. I said, my wife and I, we're getting ready to move up there. We're super excited about the church. Here I've told him all about the church and the people, the town, the community, all of it, and I just need some direction on finding a place to live. At that point in time, he began to tell me how he and Linda had a home up here out on 1499, and that they had talked about it, prayed about it. They would be honored, blessed, if Melissa and I would move up, stay in their home rent-free. My family's two biggest concerns and worries at the time: what are we living in? How are we going to afford it? Both answered in one simple moment. I think back through all that God has done since then. I look around at this building. I look around at the lives that you and I are changing. The lives that are being touched on a daily basis. And I recognize that there's no way for me to have known at the time that a trip to Target would reveal all that God was going to do in one simple moment, a divine appointment. I didn't recognize it at the time, didn't see it. And yet now I can look back and sit there and just, a moment in a shopping center some 630 some miles away, still in Texas, but yeah. A man from a little town in northeast Texas raised his children here, was now snowbirding down at another small town in south Texas. Runs into a man, a wife, and his kids that need a home. A divine appointment. Here we are, we're in the holidays, and throughout the holidays, what I'm going to do is we're going to be looking at divine appointments throughout the Christmas story. The key thought through all of this is that you have no idea what all God can do in one simple moment. One simple moment of faith, one simple moment of action, one simple moment of belief. You have no idea what all God can do in one simple moment. Today I want us to concentrate and look at one simple moment of obedience. And the truth is, there's a lot of people here who know what God can do in one simple moment of obedience. You've seen it. You've witnessed it. At one point in time, you were prompted to do something. You felt an inclination to say something or to somehow do something. And you can look back now and see how God was moving in that one simple act. But then as well, there's other times in my life where I've felt prompted. I felt prompted to say something. I knew I was supposed to do something or give something or for whatever reason, I didn't. For whatever reason, I didn't. And it was almost as if that obeying that simple act was maybe just too much. I don't know. But I wonder. I've looked back on and just thought, what did I miss out on? What did God plan to do that maybe he couldn't do through me simply because I didn't obey? Today, I want to begin with a portion of the Christmas story. And if you all, let's go ahead and stand up for the reading of God's word. We're going to read in Matthew chapter 18, a beautiful portion of scripture. We're going to begin in verse 18. It says this. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until the son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this season, for this time. Lord God, even now, I recognize that the hustle and bustle is already starting to weigh. Father, I pray that through this season that we would be able to just take a step back and remember the reason, Lord God, that we would be able to look to you, Father, as the author, perfecter, finisher of everything that we do, Lord God. And so, Father, with that, with confidence, with our shoulders back, our heads held high, we enter this season, Lord God, knowing that you are king, that you reign, and Lord God, you are going to use us through simple moments of obedience to change other people's lives right here within our community. It's in the name of your son we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. All right, now, chances are, I'd be willing to wager, not that we wager, because that, you know, but if I did, I'd be willing to bet that anybody in here has heard of Mary. I mean, Mary gets all the cool names. Mother Mary, Virgin Mary. She gets all the sermons. She gets it all. We've all heard about Mary, but what about Joseph? Today, what I want to do is I want to talk about Joseph, and I can say with a lot of confidence, I would again be willing to wager that he is the least talked about character in the Christmas story, sometimes even in Scripture. Joseph. Most scholars speculate that Joseph didn't live his full extended life. We don't hear a lot about Joseph in Scripture. In fact, the last time that Joseph is mentioned is when Jesus is 12 years old. But then he just seems to disappear. The scholars go back and forth, and one of the things that they're pretty confident in is there wouldn't have been a divorce. That would have been written throughout four Gospels. Somebody would have mentioned that, why Joseph disappeared, what he was doing. It's more likely that something happened and Joseph died. We don't know a whole lot about Joseph. One of the reasons why it's believed as well that Joseph probably passed away was that we know from Scripture that Jesus stayed at home with his mom until he was 30. It was actually common in Jewish culture at the time to stay at home with your mom if she was widowed until you were 30. So it seems like Joseph, at some point in time in Jesus' life, passed away. Another reason Joseph isn't talked a lot about is we just don't know much. I'll tell you what all we do know about Joseph from Scripture. We know that he was a carpenter, but even that is debated. I say it's debated. We know he was a carpenter, but it's debated that, okay, in that particular culture and time, there wasn't an excess of woodworking being done. There was a lot more mud brick homes being made. So did Joseph work wood or did Joseph make mud bricks? We don't know. Again, we do know that he was a righteous and faithful man. Scripture tells us that he was a righteous and faithful man. We know he was a descendant of David. We know that he was Mary's husband. And we know that he was Jesus' earthly father. Outside of that, we don't know a whole lot about Joseph. And yet when I look at Joseph in Scripture, we see how in one simple moment, what all God did that still to this day is helping to bring about a change that impacts us all. We just read that Joseph was engaged to Mary. Now, most scholars believe that Mary at the time was 14 or 15. Some even argue 13. Too young. I've got daughters older than that, and it's still too young. But it was common in the culture at the time. That's just what they did. And Joseph, we know he loved Mary. We know that he truly loved Mary. But she, again, as a virgin, comes to him and says, "I'm pregnant." Look, when he heard that news, it had to be something that just crushed his spirit, crushed his soul. He knows that he hasn't been with her intimately. So then, and maybe even more than we can imagine, in that culture, he was crushed. I say more than we can imagine because this wasn't just like we call an engagement. In that culture, an engagement was a legally binding agreement. It was you're married, you just can't sleep together. To which all the men are like, "Why would you do that?" Stop it. You were married. You were legally binding married, but just not living together yet. So Mary comes to him with again, Joseph knows that he's in this relationship with Mary. They both have saved themselves for each other. They love each other. She walks in and says, "I'm pregnant." He's like, "I ain't mine." He's crushed. Never mind that Joseph loved her with all his heart. Again, this was his future wife, the woman that he had already had dreams of bearing his kids and them building this life, this family together, and like all of these thoughts, all of these dreams. Never mind that. Worse, in their culture, they both understood that this would be disobeying God, his law. This would completely dishonor her family. But then for Joseph, it would have disgraced him as well. It would have disgraced him so much so that according to Deuteronomy, that Joseph had legal right to have her stoned to death. But again, Joseph loved her. Joseph loved her, and so that wasn't an option. And the other option then is, well, if my family, if my life is now going to be completely destroyed because of this within the community, you then take her before the religious council. They declare that she's pregnant, not by you. And at that point in time, your name is cleared. Joseph's name would have been cleaned, wiped, his family's status reinstated. But Mary would have had to succumb to, typically, it was selling off of yourself. Again, 13, 14, 15. Joseph is hurting. Joseph never thought that his lowest moment could be God's divine appointment. Continuing on, Scripture tells us this in verse 20. It says, as Joseph considered this, he's considering divorcing Mary. So what he would do is quietly, he'd take her before the public council and say, this is what happened. They would clear Joseph's name. So he's considering this. As Joseph considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Now, I'll be honest, and I'm assuming y'all are probably a lot like me. I've always read this scripture and thought, like, can you imagine just that epiphany of going to bed that night and having a dream and, like, there's just this angel that comes down? I don't know. Maybe it was deeper. I don't know. But like in my mind, it's huge. It's this magical moment. And yet it specifically says that an angel didn't just appear to Joseph. It appeared to him in a dream. I've fought against my own dreams time and time again. If I'm really wanting something, sometimes I'll dream that something should be mine. So the next morning when Joseph woke up, like, did he sit there and pawn it off as dinner from the night before? Did he sit there and like we do a lot of times, like, well, God, I believe that was you, but, you know, maybe it wasn't. Why don't you try again? Why don't you give me another sign? Why don't you do this? God, if the sun goes this direction today, then I know it's you. God, if the leaves blow across the yard, come on. He didn't argue with God. He didn't negotiate with God. He didn't even ask God to prove that he's really God. He didn't fight back at all. He didn't ask for details. All he did when the angel said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, verse 24 says this, when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. You don't have to understand to obey. You don't need to know the details. You don't need to have everything ironed out. And I say that, and I like to have everything ironed out. You don't need to know how it's going to end if God is in the beginning. Think about all that Joseph didn't know. I mean, we could go back and maybe it was just this extremely magical, angelic moment. Maybe at that very moment, he knew that he knew that he knew, and he couldn't argue. But think about what all Joseph didn't know. I think just about the story of the birth. Joseph didn't know that in 9 months, there was going to be a decree that he would have to take pregnant mama on the back of an animal, we assume a donkey, we don't really know, take pregnant mama on the back of whatever, about 100 miles journey, 10 days journey is what it would have taken, 10 days, 10 nights. And at that particular time, it's winter. It's winter time, and guess what happens in that area? It freezes every night. Like, cold. Cold. 10 days, 10 nights, on the back of whatever with pregnant mama. Right? Like, she's, look, this isn't anti-anything. She has every reason to be grumpy. I can't imagine. Also, the area that they had to travel was actually an area that was over a mountain range and then down through a valley that was known for lions, bears, and wild boar. So every night when you set up, you've got to set up camp knowing that there's the possibility of lions, bears, or a wild boar tearing through your camp at night. As well, everybody, all the bad guys, well, what do? They know that everybody's going to there because of a decree, right? So the roads are heavily traveled by people that have to take their families for a census in Bethlehem. So there's so many robbers, people along the path that are there for no more reason than just to steal. Joseph didn't know this. He didn't know that when he got there, he didn't make reservations in time, and he was going to be stuck in a barn with animals for his baby Jesus that the angel appeared for. He didn't know. Joseph didn't know that in a short while after the birth, that King Herod was going to issue a decree because of Joseph's son that all males under the age of 2 were to be killed. Joseph's going to carry a lot. And he didn't know. He didn't know that they'd have to go on the run. Joseph had no idea of the weight of raising the Son of God. And yet, without knowing any of the details, an angel in a dream says, "Do not be afraid to take her as your wife." And he just obeys. He knows there's going to be significant cost. He doesn't know all the details, but he knows up front what he is doing is going to be community-wise ridiculed. He knows. And yet he obeys. All right, so listen. Here's what's guaranteed to happen in your life. Here's what's guaranteed to happen in your life. As you are seeking him, because that's what we do. As you are reading his word, because that's what you do. As you are praying, as you're just going through your everyday, what's going to happen is he's going to prompt you. His spirit inside, the word being read to you, all of these different things, he's going to prompt you to say something, to give something, or lead you to do something that you wouldn't normally have done, and you won't know the details. Look, I'm praying that this happens to you. So if you're looking at me like, this ain't happening, I'm praying it does. I'm praying this season that he's going to prompt you. It may be internally, it may be to confess a sin. It may be to confess an addiction, recognize that you need help. What's wrong with that? Why are we so afraid to admit to addictions? Recognize that you may need to apologize for something. God may lead you to forgive someone in the same way that Christ has forgiven you, and you're going to have every excuse not to. He might prompt you to pray for someone. He might prompt you to witness to someone. Send a message to someone. Or maybe even invite someone to church. Better than that? What if he prompted you in your life to live your life in such a manner that all of a sudden you were living and believing like the gospel changed everything in your life. And as such, now the people that you live among see that the gospel changes everything. Yeah. And in that simple moment, in that simple moment, you'll have a choice of what you do. Do you obey or do you not obey? And I remind you, you have no idea what all God can do in you or through you through one simple moment of obedience. Unfortunately, many Christians today were educated beyond our level of obedience. We have a plethora of head knowledge, and yet no application of what we know. Look, I've done it myself. We go to church and we're like, feed me, give me. And yet most of us don't need to know more. We need to do more with what we already know. Look, you and I must be obedient with even our simple moments. With even the moments that seem mundane. With even the moments that seem insignificant. You and I must obey with even our simple moments. I'd say we need to start with our obedience to God's word. What he says in scripture, we need to know and apply it even without knowing all the details. We obey God, we trust him with the results. We obey God and trust him with the results. Joseph didn't have the details, yet did what the angel of the Lord told him to do. And in doing so, he gave us all a glimpse into what God can do through one simple moment. But here's the thing. When God does prompt you in whatever area, and again, I'm praying you're prompted between now and December 24th when you get to invite somebody to our New Year's Eve service, here's what's going to happen. God's going to give you a word. You're going to be given direction. And almost every time, like Joseph, you're guaranteed some sort of spiritual opposition. Immediately, you can guarantee it. God will speak to you. Obey. And if you take a stand, people are going to look at you like you're weird. God may tell you to stop partying. What? And in that moment, you're going to have a choice. Do you obey or do you not? And here's what's going to happen. When you obey, you're going to have people that look at you and go, why, what? You're weird. Why would you not? God's going to speak to some and tell them, hey, look, you've decided to give thankfully. I'm going to bless you. I want to see you increase it. And in that moment, you're going to have a decision. Do you obey or do you not? And again, you start thinking, man, I'm striving to get to 10%, but 10% is not enough. God, I just want to bless your kingdom. I'm going for 15. And guess what people are going to say? You're crazy. That's dumb. Like, you know what all you could do with that. Or God prompts you maybe to get out of debt and you're not driving or doing the fanciest whatever. And people will look at you and go, why not? It's so luxurious. Because when you obey God, there's going to be opposition against you. Look, obedience will be difficult and might even cost you up front. But I can promise you have no idea what God can do through one simple moment. As I close, I'm going to leave you with a challenge. The holidays are on us, and with it, every excuse, every reason for us to not obey. Every excuse. I'm praying. I'm believing that God is going to stir in you this Christmas season. And that this week, you're going to recognize simple moments. You're going to recognize when God is calling you to serve. Because we don't just consume, we don't just go to church. We understand that we are the church and we all have gifts and we're all supposed to use those gifts for the edification and the building of the body. But when God prompts you to do that, your thought's going to be, God, I'm busy. I mean, not right now. Let me get through this season. And then I'll do it. God might lead you to give something, to bless somebody. And in that moment, you're going to think, but God, it's tight right now. Lord, gas is expensive. I drove by 4 different gas stations the other day just to find the cheapest one and had to drive back and forth because the cheapest one was back all the way over here. I blew more gas trying to find the cheapest gas. But it will. It'll cross your mind. You're gonna pass somebody, and God's going to say, bless them. Do something. And in that moment, you're going to sit there and think, man, I still haven't even gotten Christmas from my wife. Who is this? Why would I? There's going to be opportunities, even this week, and I'm challenging you to look for them. That's all. This week, I want you to look for the simple moments. Somebody may betray you, and God's word pierces your heart to forgive them. And it's going to be hard. You're going to have every excuse to not. Sometimes holidays are better without them. And yet, God didn't say that about you. Look, you're loved more than you can imagine, and God says, I want you to do the same. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. It does not make sense. And yet he's enough. When you recognize who he is, when you recognize that you can go through the storms, when you recognize that you can go through anything and that he is enough, and then all of a sudden it's those moments, it's that recognition within your own life that you can't help but want to look for to give to other people. It might be you giving it. It might be you accepting it. It might be sitting down to a coffee when you don't want to be. And in that moment, you're not going to recognize what it is that God is doing. And yet I can promise you, in one simple moment, God is more than able. Divine appointment. I really do believe that this week, each and every one of you are going to be presented with a divine appointment. An opportunity to obey or to not. The choice is yours. But can you imagine, with all of the faith in this room, what the Lord could do? Can you imagine, with all of the faith in this room, what the Lord can do? Look, can you imagine? I don't think any one of us are even beginning to broach what God wants to do right here in this place. I tell you, it's not about our building, it's about the community, and it is, but I know that God is going to do something here. But what it takes, hold on just a second, listen, what it takes is you. God is more than able. God is more than able. Come on, stand with me as I close this morning.
Who am I?
Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord Jesus. And Lord God, I will not deny the work that you can do in my life. Lord God, I pray that people across this room recognize and don't deny the work that you can do in their lives. Because you, Lord God, are more than able. One simple moment, Lord God, of faith. One simple moment, Lord God, of trusting in you. One simple moment of obedience. Lord, I pray that your spirit, Lord God, would quicken us this week. That we, Lord God, would recognize the fire, the fervor, the zeal, Lord God, that you are planting underneath each and every one of us. igniting, Lord God, something that needs to happen inside. I pray, Lord God, that we don't just fall back to the normal, that we don't settle for the status quo, Lord God, but instead we make a choice to recognize that you are more than able. God, I thank you for your word, your truth, the power, Lord God, that it has to change lives. And Lord God, I pray that we as a people, as a body, would come together trusting you, obeying you, Lord God, and recognizing that you are more than able in our lives, in this community, in this place. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, for the gift of life eternal, for the gift of being able to rejoice and hope in eternity. God, may your will be done through this season in our lives. It's in the name of the Son that we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Church, y'all have a blessed week, and y'all look for opportunities. God bless.